well, so much. And we did spend some time during the week on rivers. And this is one of the parshios. So I thought we'd spend a few more minutes on ribis, and just to reinforce a little bit what I was projecting about it, but through the by elaborating a little bit, and also but seeing it as an exemplar as of the Ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefnehem, and really of what we do all the time. I'll explain what I mean. So the parsha begins Ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem. And Rashi, of course, quotes right away, you know, from the different chazals, many of them, which really come from the Mechilta, which is a very early Midrash Halacha, right? Kol Shenemar, Kol Makom Shenemar, Eila Pasal Sarishonim, Ve'eila Mosif Al Rishonim, Ma Rishonim Misinai, Af Eila Misinai, Lama Nismucha Parshas Din in the Parshas Samizbeach, Shetasim Sanhedrin Eitz Olam Mizbeach. So basically, as we undoubtedly discussed in previous years, and certainly when we learned Sanhedrin last year, we elaborated this very, very fully. So Parshas Mishpatim, of course, is the parsha of civil law, and if anything, one would have expected that's where you'd get, you know, a more neutral or secular presentation of Dinei Torah. And what we ubiquitously say about this, but again, because I believe it, not, you know, because there's nothing else to say, is that, where you find the overlap, you know, and where you would expect to find, you know, something which is more neutral and more secular, is precisely, you know, the venue, right, to put your finger on what is unique about Dinei Torah. Because there's no such thing as neutrality, and there's no such thing as a secular component of religious law. On the contrary, it is more flexible, and that's why, you know, in Kosher Mishpat there, you know, is more of an idea of Mas Namasha Kosset B'Torah B'Tzayin Davar Shemamon, and many other examples of that. But at the same time, that's the whole point. And the whole point is that it's Ve'ele HaMishpatim, the two points that Rashi raises. It's Namar Rishonim Misinai Afelim Misinai. It's Lama Nismacha Shetasim Sanhedrin Eitzel Mizbeach. And so on. Asher Tasim Lifneim has got to be Kishulchan Haruch Muchan Lifnei, you know, HaAdam. Lifneim is Lo Lifnei Akum. It's the Isur Arkos. And that's the Gemara in Gittin and the Medrash here and so on, and especially the Ramban that we talked about so much in Sanhedrin. Namely, Afilu Kishidineim Kidineinu, maybe even in some cases Dafka Kishidineim Kidineinu. So just, you know, it's dismissing, let's say, the differences, or zeroing in on the narrow, even identical elements, is a huge mistake, because it misses that point. And again, I don't want to go through the whole thing, but that's the idea that, you know, of the Ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefnehem. And it starts off, I've also said this other in the past, I don't remember exactly when, but that Ki Tikne Eved Ivri, like we start off with Ki Tikne Eved Ivri, that Ibn Ezra has a comment in which he alludes to this idea, strongly, doesn't explicate it fully, and that is that if you really want to understand a legal system, and especially if you want to understand it not merely, you know, as a pragmatic, you know, efficient system, but as an idealistic one, so ki tikne eved ivri. So you're going to start with the weakest population, the most vulnerable, you know, population, because it's really all about protecting the most vulnerable in society. And I think that is the beginning, and that comes after the words Ve'ela Mishpatim and the Yisrael Kos, etc., is already by, you know, every word. Ve'ela HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Ve'lifneihem, and then the beginning Ki Tikne Eved Ivri. All of this is about accentuating this unique feature of Kosher Mishpat. And again, I've said many, many times, last year in our Hakdama to Sanhedrin, we talked, of course, great length about this, you know, the role of Din in the, you know, Gimbal Dvarim, in which, you know, the Olam is made, and Rabbeinu Yonah's comment about, you know, Haskel v'yadoa osi, that the Pasuk in Yirmiyah refers to, have a Mesunim b'din, refers to Din, refers to Kosher Mishpat, Dafka, that's the source for Yediyas Hashem, and we talk about this all the time, that whenever there's overlap, we talked about it about Mitzvah B'nei Noach in general, but of course Kosher Mishpat in particular is an example of this. So, during the week, when we were talking about ribis, and Ribbis Ketutza. And I made the point that extending a loan in all cultures is something that fuels any economy, especially when you're not only dealing with, even when you're dealing with an agrarian economy, but especially when you're dealing with a more entrepreneurial or commercial kind of an economy. So access to credit is something that is a sine qua non. It's like just a linchpin for economic activity. Right? That's why every time, you know, the Fed has its announcement, you know, they are going to raise interest rate. They're not, like, you know, the world stops, you know, and the stock market gyrates. I don't want to scare anybody who's got stocks. But the reason that that is the case is because, you know, the world is interest rate sensitive because it's all about access to, you know, to credit, which is the basis of money. So one could, and most cultures do, have a very neutral, secular, efficient orientation towards the extending of loans. And of course, Heta Ribbis is certainly part of that. However, in Parshas Mishpatim, which is the first time that this issue is addressed in the Torah, already the context reflects that the way that we look at loans is different. The context, of course, is the principle of Ger, Yosom, and Almana. Those are the psukim that immediately precede the extension of loans. Beger lo tonev, lo tuchatzenu. This is Perek Chafes, Pasuk Chaf. Ki ger ma'isim be'aretz Mitzrayim. Kol Almana v'yosom lo ta'anun. Imane tane oso. Right? Kim tza'o ki tzak elai, shamoa eshma tzak baso. V'chara apiva harakti eschem becharev. V'ayun sheichem almanos v'nechem yisomim. This is Ger, Yosom, and Almana. Right? The Rabbeinu Shalom's, you know, just like the Mishpatim begins with the protected, the need to protect, you know, the weakest rung in civilization, Eved, right? So too, in parallel, Ger, Yosom, the Almana, always, that's why we always speak in the Moadim, you know, these are the Rabbeinu Shalom's, you know, you can almost see his protective hand, Kivyachal, you know, sheltering, as it were, these three vulnerable groups of society. And that is the introduction, right, to what follows, which is in Kesef Talves Ami Es Helani Mach Lo Tiela Kenoshe Lo Tsimun Olav Neshach Im Chavol Tachbol Samas Reyecha Ad Bo Hashemesh Teshivenu Lo Ki, right, Hik Susolo Vado Hisim Lasoli Oro B'mei Yishka B'yoki Yitzak Elai V'shamati K'chanunoni. And of course, the Vayaki Yitzak Elai V'shamati K'chanunani is something that is reminiscent of the psukim we just read. Tzaok Yitzak Elai, Shamoa Eshma Tzak Aso, V'chora Api, right? So what we're being told about Ger, Yosom, V'almano, we're told about, you know, what happens in the context of extending a loan, taking a mashkon, but being insensitive, right, to the role that mashkon plays. Even though, again, when you think about it, right, I lent this money, I lent it without ribbis, I took a mashkon. What's the point of the mashkon if not to pressure him, right, to repay the loan? Certainly within the technical, efficient rights of someone who's holding on to a mashkon, right, to continue to hold on to it. Right, if I make it so easy for him, if I return the mashkon every night or every morning, depending on what it is, then, you know, how effective is holding on to it. But again, that the same language of tza'aka, you know, and rachmanus is used is surely telling. But of course, it's much more than that. It's the language that the Torah uses to describe this extension of loans, and of course, it's the yisod ha'iser of ribbis itself. So I want to spend a few minutes generally talking about the psukim. And I did say that the Rambam had a particular take on ribbis and on the parshios of ribbis, and I want to just elaborate that a little bit. But the point, the bigger point is to put this in the context of the Eila Mishpatim, Eila ve'Eila, you know, again, the Yisrael Kos. What it is unique about Choshem is all a statement about what's unique about Choshem Mishpat. So the first thing to note is that the psukim themselves are just very, very challenging, right? Im kesef talveh es ami, es ha'oni imach, lo tielo kenosha. All that, you know, the first half of the pasuk at the Asnachta, before you get to the Isra of Ribis, Los Simon, Olav, Neshech, and then the rest of it. Each part of that is challenging. Im, right? The word im is not normally challenging, right? And we all know how to translate it. It means if, right? However, Rashi quotes the Mechilta, right? That Rabbi Shmuel Omer kol im v'im shebetora rishus chutz mishlosha v'ze echad mehen. Right, this is one of the three ims. This is one of the three ims that is not if, but when, or that's an imperative. Yeah.
I guess to further support our point, even within the halacha, we have times where we in Sanhedrin and David Gilmer say Kedisha L'Tono Delap Milobin. So we have times where we're even more makil in certain areas, specifically, so we can have this fluidity of funds and loans, etc.
Yeah, no, for sure. L'Tono Delap Milobin is a great example. And by the way, L'Tono Delap Milobin, if you look at the Gemara, I think we made this point last year when we learned Sanhedrin. Sometimes it's l'kula, sometimes it's l'chumra. Because it's neither cool. In other words, sometimes it's, you know, it's pro malva, sometimes it's pro lova, because it's really not pro either. It's pro, you know, an efficient but also equitable approach to economic justice in society. But the fact that we make zeros on the basis of this factor of Lotino Delis Bipte Lovin shows you how, I think that's a true point they make. Yeah, we consider it to be a very, had it been purely economic, you know, it wouldn't justify it as much. But because there's an understanding that, you know, economic confidence or stability is, you know, on a human level, translates into, a foundation of trust and of dignity for people, that's why this level of activity is great and intense, 100%. And that's why, again, it's not pro one group or pro another group. It's all about, you know, there's a bigger goal and ideal behind Lotino Delis Bifnei Lavin. Anyways, Im Kesef Talves Ami is fascinating because Im normally means if. Certainly the Hebrew, linguistically, Im means if. What does it mean that Chazal, that there are three cases, we'll leave the other two out for the moment, although I think parallel analysis needs. What does it mean that here, im, doesn't mean if, it means when or that it's an imperative? And it goes to the same question that we ask, you know, many, many, many other times. If the Torah really means, kishe, you know, when, or that there's a chiyu, so why does it say im? What is the advantage or what is the lesson behind taking an im and making it into a chiyu? But I think that's exactly like a teeny, you know, powerful snapshot of what we're talking about. Meaning, what is an im? Had the Torah just written, you know, you're obligated to give a loan, you know, then, okay, that would have been very clear, certainly. But in a way, it would have deflected from what a powerful contrast this really is to other cultures and to what should have been anticipated. By saying im and acknowledging that, and it is still true on some level. Obviously, you're not mechuyev to give a loan there's still an element, you know, there's still a lot of voluntarism and volition when it comes to being a malva, right? There's no chiyuv to give X amount of loans or to give X amount of, depending on how many people ask for it or during the time of the year, and so on and so forth. So to a large extent, it is still im, but it's an im, which is a chiyu. But more than that, what I'm really trying to say is that I think what the Torah, I'm speculating, what the Torah wanted to capture was the idea that something that is an intrinsic im, and even where there remains a lot of im, a lot of volition, a lot of choice, but something which in other cultures is intrinsically choice-oriented, my money, of course I could choose whether and who to give it, and that is retained to some extent. The Torah's perspective on it is to turn it into a chiyuv. What better way than to highlight both at the same time, both the contrast to what you would have expected and to what halakhically is, and also to retain the idea that it's not, so you could have thought, the opposite. So your money's not your own at all, and therefore you're just mechuyev, and you have to give them X amount of loans, or you have to look around to give loans. But that isn't the case either. Even as there's a chiyuv, you know, and an extension of the notion of tzedakah in the giving of loans, it's important to understand that it still has its own dynamic. It's im kesef talveh sami, which is both im and kishe, or mechuyevu lahalvos esami. And I think that that obviously already sets the tone, as does the word esami, right? It's a very strange usage, esami. Unklis halatar im kaspa tozef be'ami, right? But if you look at Yonasan ben Aziel, it's le'ami. So what, you're giving, you lend money to the nation? Or you don't lend money to the nation, you lend money to your next door neighbor, or to your cousin, right? Or to some guy who's badgering you for a loan, right? So be'ami, okay. Rashi, you know, quoting again Chazal, esami, ami begoy, ami kodem, ani va'ashir, ani kodem, ani yecha v'ani yeircha, ani yecha kodmin, ani yeircha v'ani yeiracheres, right? Ani yeircha kodmin. Zeh mashma'o. Im kesef talveh esami tilaveyu. Lo legoy, ule'eza me'ami, ese ani. Ule'eza ani, la'osa sheba'amech. Okay. So this is a very interesting way to interpret the psukim, Chazal's way. But let's just add that in a way, by saying be'ami, you could, you know, retain this interpretation. But especially like Yodasim ben Aziel and the Pashtus of Psukim, es kesef talvet, right, im kesef talvet esami, what we're really saying, again, is that while there's an individual who's receiving, right, the benefit of your loan, this isn't just about a personal relationship, loan relationship between him. Even it's not even just about a personal chesed relationship between the two of you. And that's the reason why there is a k'dima in tzedakah, right, which depends on ayircha, mishpacha, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, and so on. Like, what do these things have to do with lending money, right, and entrepreneurial activity? But in addition to that, the point is that when you lend money to a fellow member of Klal Yisrael, you're lending an individual, but really it's a din in being talveh esami. And not only because of what Chazal say about poverty, which is the principle of galgal hachozer, Gemara Bava Basra, namely, in a way it's like a socialist, you know, revolving fund, right? I mentioned it the other day. You know, you have to keep it, you know, it's like Social Security. You know, you have to keep it, you know, fully, you know, liquid. You know, you're paying in, but eventually you'll get a payment out. It's just, you know, it's a long-term investment society. So it's talveh esami in that respect. You know, galgala chozer. And that's why there can be an element of balcho, malva valova. But I think it's more than that. And again, connected to the Biga Malva Velova, connected with the Im Kesef being a Chiyuv and yet being an Im, both as a contrast and both at the same time. And that is, again, this idea that this is a Chiyuv B'Toras, being a member of Klal Yisrael. It's part of V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. It's part of seeing every Jew, as every co-religionist, as a member of your family. So you really are, it's very meduyak, and that's what Yonathan ben Aziel is emphasizing. Not only be'ami, but this is a halva es-ami. And not even el-ami, but es-ami, right? The recipient is Klal Yisrael. Right. And then es-he'ani imach, which is a very, very, you know, clumsy usage, seemingly, but of course, again, it's, you know, Lashon HaTorah, that makes it perfect. Et ha'ani imach is a way of saying you're not only giving aniim, but the ani factor right, is something that defines halvah. The Rambam, as we'll see in a moment, in Hilchos Malva v'Loveh, you know, continuously emphasizes this idea of extending loans as an act of tzedakah to aniyim, to the extent that the Lecha Mishnah said, well, I mean, the obligation to extend loans interest-free is not limited to aniyim, right? It says also applies to aniyim. But this idea of es ha'ani imach, and the way that it's written, show is a way of saying this is a tzedakah din, and it's particularly meaningful for aniyim. That's why the Rambam's emphasis, which we'll read inside in just a second, both in Sefer Mitzvos and Tokos Malva Belova, is certainly based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, that this is the purest and most ambitious, albeit most counterintuitive, form of tzedakah, right? There's, from a personal loss point of view, you know, it's less impressive to give a loan than it is to give a free and clear matana, right? But in terms of the recipient, obviously, and his dignity and his long-term stability, receiving a loan, right, is far more of an act of tzedakah than a free and clear matana. So the psukim that begin, im kesef, talveh es ami, and es ha'ani imach, are each one, and I'm not going through all the parshanot, which all add, but you can see even the little that we're doing, highlight already from the beginning that this is a special din. This is something which is singular. It's not a typical extension of a halva. It's a complex perspective on giving a halva. And then, of course, the next words that complete the asnachta, lo sia lo kenosha. So what does that mean, lo sia lo kenosha? What is a nosha? A nosha means a malveb, right? An aloveb. He should not be aloveb, you should not be... The simple pshat means don't act like a malveb and aloveb. What should you act like when you give a halva? When you give a halva, right, if you give a halva, when you give a halva to an ani, don't be like a nosha. Like, what's so terrible about being an nosha, right? So, again, lo sisimun alav nechach. So what does it really mean? So Unklus here says, lo tehele, and so does Yonatan ben Aziel, ki roshia. Lo teshav olai chibulia. Okay, what is lo tehelo kirasha? Right, he should not, don't perceive him or don't conduct yourself vis-a-vis the recipient as if he is an ani. So it's a little more explicit in Yonatan ben Aziel. Certainly some of the Mefarshim explain what they mean to say is, right, don't treat the recipient as he is a recipient of tzedakah. And again, this is part of the dialectic of the im. On the one hand, you're obligated, and it's an act of tzedakah, es ha'ani limach, it's the highest form of tzedakah. But one of the benefits of it is precisely that he doesn't have to feel, right, denigrated, dehumanized, you know, that somehow he is sacrificing in terms of his personal dignity, right? He can feel that it's an im, not a chiyuv, and he can feel that he's not a noshe, you know, that he's not kirashaya, that he's not somebody who's poverty-stricken. Or treat the poor, you know, who receives a loan, the same way that you would treat the wealthy, with the dignity that this is a business proposition, even though it's really an act of tzedakah. But more to the point is what Chazal said. So lo tia lo kenosha, and again, Targum is not so ser what Chazal say, that what Halacha is, but they simply add a dimension you know, to it. So what is lo sia lo kenosha? So the way the Gemara in Bava Metzia describes it is that lo sia lo kenosha ayin hei amud beis. So what's fascinating is the Gemara emphasizes on the one hand lo levakesh kishenoda shelo yochal lefroa. Don't treat him like somebody who owes you money when you know that he doesn't have the capacity to pay, like you're aware that he's in dire straits, don't treat him like he, don't treat it as if the loan is up. That's how the Rambam also codifies this, as we'll see in a minute, both in Los Asay Reish Lamed Daled and in the beginning of Hilchos Ma'alva V'Lova. But equally, the Mishnah in Bamitzi Ayin Hayamad Beis says that Losia Lo Kenosha is the introduction to Lo Tesimun Olav Neshech. Meaning when the Torah says, don't treat it like a nosha, they mean don't charge ribbis. So which is it? Don't hang around him, you know, and hint at him, never mind demand. If he doesn't have the ability to pay, stay clear of him. Or don't charge him ribbis. Those seem like two totally different ideas. The Rambam codifies both. Right? The Rambam in number one, Asay Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Second. Hishatzivanu lahavlos laoni laharchiv lo ulahakel inyano umitzvah zuhi ayoser chazaka v'yoser mechuyaves mikol mitzvah tzedaka ki mishin izbaza v'gila panav lishol midehu anashim ein tzoros inyano sarmeolav kama mechusa sheyirtzali yazer ad shelo yizgal inyano v'lo yizbaze v'tzivui b'mitzvah zu amari asala Im kesef talveh sami es ha'ani imach, l'shon b'chilta kol im v'im shebetorah b'rishus chutz migimol, echad mehem im kesef talveh sami, omru im kesef talveh chova, atom b'chova en el rishus, tabalomer havet tavitenu chova v'lo rishus, farzbar mishpatei mitzvah zu b'mekoma b'ksuvas u'basra. So this is a very clear statement of the Rambam about the obligation to lend to an ani being formulated as a din of tzedakah. And then in Lo Saseh Reish Lamed Daled talks about Lo Siyah Lo Kenosha. He says, also very clear, Hisha Zironu Shelo Levakesh HaMalva Min Alova Kishineida She'eni Yochal Lefaro. That's the Gemara. Hu Amaro Lo Siyah Lo Kenosha. Ubigmar Bab Mitsia, Minayan, Lenosha Kaver, Mimana, Viodebo, Shainlo, Shasa Lavar Lafana, Tamadamala Tilo Kenosha. Ubimachilta lo Tilo Kenosha, Shalot Tira Elo, Becholzman. The Da, says the Rambam, this is interesting language, Shaz Horazu Kolelis Gamke, Misha Yavake, Shkov, Shalaribis. Sounds like two different things. Right, one is, the guy's obligated to pay you back, right, but don't intensify his misery, right, by being present, by demanding, by even hinting, when you know that he doesn't have the capacity to do so. What does that have to do with being mevakesh chov shebaribis? Seems like a totally different isar. V'chein omer mishi lava baribis over alamaro lo sielo kenosha. That's a mishnah, an ayin hamid beit, ayin hamid beit. But the Rambam expanded the application of that mishnah. In Yad Chazaka, I say, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halakha, Aleph and Beis, follows with this, but goes significantly further. Again, in the Koteret, Lahalvos La'ani Umach, right? Beis, Shelo Yigas Oso, Gimel Lingos Esanachri. So what's fascinating about this is as follows. I mentioned that the parshios of the Torah, first one being our parsha, Mishpatim, but also in Behar, Vechzakta bo ger v'toshav v'chayimach, v'cheyachi chayimach, psukim that are used for tzedakah, that include the isur of ribis, in fact, the chiyuv hashavas ribis, ribis k'tutsu yotzu v'dayanim, some of the things that we spoke about the other day, come from the psukim in Parshas Behar, the psukim of chiyuv tzedakah and of Hashavas Ribis are in the same Parsha. The third Parsha is the Parsha in Kitetze. in Kitaitse, the Torah does not explicitly speak about tzedakah. This is Dvarim Chav Gimel, Chav through Chav Aleph. What did I say? Dvarim Chav Gimel, Chav through Chav Aleph. Chav through Chav Gimel. Dvarim Chav Gimel, yeah. Listen to this. Torah says as follows: Lo sashich lo achicha neshach kesef neshach okel neshach kol davar sher yishach la nachri sashich ulo achicha lo sashich leman yivarecha Hashem elokecha b'chol mishlach yadecha ala aretz asher atav Hashem lirishta. So this is the only of the three parshios that doesn't specifically mention tzedakah. So why did I say that all three do? Right. The answer is because of the continuation. Leman yivarecha Hashem elokecha b'chol mishlach yadecha ala aretz asher atav Hashem lirishta. This continuation, leman yivarecha, echoes in our ear of the parsha in Re'eh, Tesvav Yud, right, previously, where the Torah says about tzedakah, Nason titan ala yera levavcha besitkalo ki beglala davar zeh yivarecha Hashem elokecha b'chol maasecha b'chol mishlach yodecha. Right? Moreover, that's where the Torah earlier develops the principle of Shemitah's Ksafim. Miket sheva shanim taseh Shemitah, zedvar Shemitah shamot, ko ba ma sheyoda sheyasha bereyu, lo yigos esreyu v'esachiv ki kara Shemitah la'ashem, esanachri tigos, Asher lecha yilecha sachicha tashme yadecha efes ki lo yecha evyon ki barech yirecha Hashem elokecha Hashem rather ba'aretz asher Hashem elokecha nasein lecha nachala lirishta. So in Parsha of Shemitas Ksafim and then afterwards in the Parsha of Kriyashma you have this phrase ki barech yirecha Hashem elokecha or ki yivarecha Hashem elokecha ba'aretz, the same phrase which appears in the third parsha of Ribbis. Moreover, here you have the din that parallels that parsha, namely the distinction between lanochri tigos or lanochri tashich, lochicha lo tigos, lochicha lo tashich, right? The Rambam's famous shita about dafka not being allowed, right, to concede ribbis or to apply Shemitas Ksafim to a non-Jew comes from the parallel of these two parshios. If you look at the Torah Shebichsav, right, it's hard not to read the parsha in two parshios in Re'eh, of Tzedakah and of Shemitas Ksafim, right, without, you know, linking it up with the parsha in Kitetze of ribbis. It's even harder if you're the Rambam. So what did the Rambam additionally do? In Koteret of Hilchos Mavo Belove, he starts Lahalvos La'aniyumach, based on the parsha we just read, parsha Nishpatim. And the next one is Shelo Yigos Oso. You shouldn't be Yigos the Love. Is there a pasuk that says not to be Noges the Love? Is there?
Shemitas Ksafim.
But not a regular milva, not Shemitas Ksafim. Correct? And then the Rambam says, Lingos Esanachri. That's from the Parsha of Shemitas Ksafim. Where should the Rambam have put Shelo Yigos Oso and Lingos Esanachri? In Perek Tes of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, and in Sefer Mitzvos when he speaks about Shemitas Ksafim, because it appears in Re'eh in that Parsha. In fact, the Rambam has it in the Koteret here in the beginning of Hilchos Malva Velova when he talks about Ribbis. And again, in Halacha Beis, right, HaTorah Hikpida Al Mishe Imana Milahalvas La'ani V'roi Necha B'Yachicha Ha'evyon. Halacha Beis. Kala noges esha'ani v'hu yodea she'en lo. What do you mean kala noges? What he should really say is kol ha noshe. Right?
V'hu yodeh she'ein lo mayachzir, over below saseh she'nemar, lo si'a lo kenose.
Why is he using language of no gaze?
The language of no gaze is a language that is associated with Shemitas Ksafim. U'mitzah saseh, then he adds, lingo sesanachri, u'lahatzer lo she'nemar al nachri tiga. That is the halacha of Shemitas Ksafim, and the Iser and the Asay of Shemitas Ksafim. Mis pias shmolamdu shazu mitzvah sasei. Also ladam laharis lebalchol bisman shenesh eino afil lavar lefanov shalei apchidu. This is all notia like kenosha. So what did the Rambam do here? He took Lavin, a Lavin and Asay that belong in Perek Tes of the Shemitah, his Perek Tes of the Shemitah, that are for the Parsha of Re'eh. And instead of applying them there, he applies them here in Hilchos Malva Belova. The Lecha Mishnah just asks, like, how come the Rambam brings this in Hilchos Malva Belova? How come he doesn't think that maybe this Aseh and this Lav aren't limited to Shnas HaShemitah and Shemitah's Ksafin? It sounds like he's extending them here. Moreover, says the Lecha Mishnah, if he is already, so then he should also say that when you are no gaze es ha'ani v'yodea ma she'en l'mayachzir, how can Ram says over below sase shenemer lotia lo kenosha, why didn't he say you're also in violation of lotigos? These are questions on the Lecha Mishnah, right? So what is really happening here? But I think what's happening is very simple. The Rambam understood that the key of Arecha Hashem Elokecha ala Aretz Asher Nasan Lach, which binds Parshas Ki Teitzeh and the two Parshios in Re'eh, namely Tzedakah and Shemitas Ksafim, the parallel of, right, Lenachri Tashich, Lenachri Tigos, right, Lachicha Lo Yigos, Lachicha Lo Tashich, all convinced the Rambam that while there are, of course, some technical differences between the dinim of Shemitas Ksafim and the dinim of Ribis, right, and the dinim of Lotia Lo Kenosha, that basically these are all interconnected. The Parshios are interconnected and the dinim are interconnected. And that's why Lotia Lo Kenosha can mean, on the one hand, don't pressure him to pay, even by being present when you know he doesn't have the wherewithal and so on. And at the same time, it means don't charge him Ribbis, which it does say in the Mishnah as one of the lavin that you violate, but for the Rambam, it's much more upfront and seems to be playing much more of a central role. This is the Rambam's way. Again, the Lecha Mishnah asks other questions. How come the Rambam didn't, on the one hand, speaks about tzedakah here, on the other hand, he leaves it to Hilchos Matnas Aniyim to speak about Aniye Ircha Kodem, Aniye Yerushalayim Kodem, Aniye Mishpacha Kodem, those halachos, which are, of course, alluded to, as we noted, in the Psukim and Mishpatim themselves, as Rashi, quoting Chazal, you know, bring out, right? Be'anecha. But the answer, again, is the Rambam knows the difference between Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Zayin through Yud, Hilchos Shmita Perek Tes, right? And Hilchos Malva Velova, Perek Aleph, and Perek Aleph through Perek Hey, he knows the differences between Dine Tzedakah, Dine Ribbis, and Dine Halva, and Dine Shemitas Ksafim, but he also knows that there is a huge overlap between them, and that they're all expressions of Tzedakah, that they're all expressions of Kedushas Yisrael, right, and Be'amecha. So for the Rambam, the answer to the question, you know, how come lo siya kenosha can mean two totally different things, and that's dalacha in Sefer Mitzvos, right? Number one, you know, go easy on the lova, if anyways you know he can't pay, and A, B, don't charge him ribbis, how can that be the same din? Why isn't that used up? Or why isn't it then a lav shebeklalos, you know, which it isn't according to the Rambam, right? The answer to that question is that that's exactly what the Torah is telling us. But I would say even further,
that for the Rambam, lo sia lo kenosha, I think I'm going to have to stop. Lo sia lo kenosha maybe means the following. Not only does it mean, you know, don't treat him like a regular nosha regarding this, and don't treat him like business as usual regarding that. It's all about what we said before, right? It's ki, it's im, which is both im and chiyuv, right? It's ba'ami, which identifies Klal Yisrael versus Nochri, which for the Rambam has an additional powerful meaning, right? Those halachas are even in Hilchos Malva Velova, right? And they are a chiyuv, not just an isra say. I mean, you're really not allowed to do this for a non-Jew. It's really, for the Rambam, even more than others, an acute expression of Avos Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. So the point is that all of that is lo tielo kenosha, meaning this is dine malva velova, but it's not dine malva velova like any other dine malva velova that you know of. It's a dine malva velova that is unique to Kedushas Yisrael. And that is part of the Eila Mishpatim, right, Asher Tasim, Lifnehem. So that's why the Rambam has this, you know, overlap, and that's why he diffuses it out, right, in all sorts of different ways. That's why, for example, also in Hilchos Malva Velova, right, Perek Dalid, Halacha Vav, the Rambam has a very expand, again, it's based on the Gemara, but it expands beyond the Gemara, and the fact that he quotes so much Divrei Agada when he talks about what's wrong with Milva. Shtar shekosov aribis ben ketzutza ben shel divreim govis akeren ena govis aribis. Is that the right one? Maybe I made the wrong halacha. I'm sorry, halacha zayin. Kala kosev shtar ribis areza kekosev umeid al avedim shakafar ba'ashem alokei Yisrael. Chen kala love o malva beribis beinon vein atzman. Harein kekofrim ba'ashem alokei Yisrael. V'kofru b'itzias Mitzrayim. Shenemers kaspecha lo titen la b'neshech. So what's fascinating here is, I mean, again, a lot of these chazals appear in Ezer Neshach. The Rambam happens to expand beyond even what appears. But what's interesting is that, as we know, the Rambam is very selective of when he quotes chazals in halachic contexts. In Hilchos Tzedakah, in Matnas Ani, in Perek Yud, almost the entire Perek is Divrei Agada. That's where the Rambam begins by noting, you know, that if somebody doesn't give tzedakah, you should check his, you know, yichus briefel. Yichus briefel? Did I say that right? Milah, yeah? Meaning his genealogy tree. Because could it be that he, you know, is a descendant of, you know, the Amud HaChesed Avraham Avinu, and he doesn't have, you know, these simanim? Then he goes on to talk about the role of tzedakah in bringing, you know, the Messianic era, and as the foundation of Mishpat, you know, and so on and so forth, and as, you know, Kisei, you know, Hashem. So, like, it's very, very unusual to have so much Divrei Agada, but it's interesting that the Rambam doesn't feel restrained when it comes to Ribbis, either, to a little bit, you know, go to town. So what I'm trying to suggest is, so when you look at the Rambam's reading of the Psukim and also his distribution of these halachos, and especially the language hagasa in place of nosha, and especially citing the two hagasa, the lav and the asay, dafka and hilchos malva and not in hilchos shmita, as well as certain other overlaps, what becomes clear is that he understood lo siya lo kenosha as having two meanings, but in addition to that having a much broader meaning, and that is, this is the Rambam's way of saying there's halva, you know, for Bnei Noach, and there's halva for Klal Yisrael. And for Klal Yisrael, right, Biamecha lo sielo kenosha. It's not lending business as usual. This is a different category. So what I was just trying to say was that this is a great example of Eila HaMishpatim, Ve'Eila HaMishpatim, as Rashi and the other Mepharshim develop it in the beginning of the Parsha. Okay, we'll stop here. There's much more, obviously, to talk about, including the other parshanim, just trying to untangle some of this very challenging language, which is obviously intended to convey these dinim, but also these complex relationships from Torah Shebetzav as they are developed more fully in Torah Shebetzav. We'll stop there.